Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Moving on, a new report from the Oireachtas Health Committee is recommending that people should take daily vitamin D supplements due to international evidence that it may help reduce the impact of COVID-19 infections and other illnesses. The report is being launched as we speak. In a moment, we're going to hear from Professor Roseanne Kenny, a member of the COVID-D Consortium, which advised the Oireachtas Health Committee. But I'm joined first on the line by Roisin Shortall, a member of that committee, co-leader of the Social Democrats. Good morning, Roisin.
Good morning, Philip.
Take us through what you're recommending, please.
Okay, so we had a group of experts working in the area of vitamin D who are clinicians and also academics, and they came in and met with the committee, and they spoke to us at some length about the work that they've been doing and the evidence that they have identified, and looking at international evidence as well. And I have to say they made a very compelling case. I think the committee were very impressed with the work that they had done. And arising out of that, the committee has made a number of recommendations. And the first is that the whole question of vitamin D supplementation should be a key part of the approach to public health in terms of preventative medicine, and that vitamin D supplements should be taken by the majority of the population on an ongoing basis. And that was in respect of the evidence that we heard in relation to right across the population that people are deficient in vitamin D. So we felt that the public health advice needed to be very clear in relation to that, and that there should be a public health campaign making people aware of this fact and the recommended daily dose. That was the first thing. There was also a point made in relation to older people and the importance of older people having access to vitamin D and ensuring that it was prescribed to people with medical cards, obviously, and that would be free of charge, but also then in relation to, it's not an expensive supplement, but we recommended that the VAT be removed from it to make it even more affordable for people, and that older people in particular needed to take it, but it was recommended across the population.
Can you be assured that you are doing good in the context of COVID, though, when you recommend it?
I think there is a lot of good evidence supporting that, coming from Finland in particular, and increasingly we're seeing studies being done in other countries. The studies in that respect haven't been done in this country. There's insufficient evidence. And I've raised this a number of times with the Minister for Health, and also he has then raised it with NPHET in turn. There have been some minor studies done over the last few months, but nothing of any real consequence. So NPHET are now saying that there's insufficient high-quality evidence with respect to vitamin D in the prevention or treatment of COVID, but that hasn't been looked at in any substantial way. So emerging evidence, and I know you're speaking to Professor Kenny in a few minutes now, and she's qualified to speak to you about that, but there is emerging evidence from other countries, and other European countries in particular, and while we don't have it here, I think it's very interesting evidence and provides the basis for further study.
Look, what you're suggesting is no doubt something that in more ordinary times would be a general good. We don't get enough vitamin D living at this latitude and eating the diets that we do, but we're not in ordinary times. Are you not worried on any level about the law of unintended consequences in singling out one particular vitamin supplement and saying we should all be having that?
What we're saying is that given the level of deficiency right across the population, and bearing in mind, you know, even those in their late teens, 20s and 30s, there's estimated to be a 47% deficiency rate. And then that goes up to obviously much higher with older people. But on that basis, there's a very strong case for saying that people should be taking supplements, particularly in the non-summer months. But also, like, there is a view that you get it from your food, from your diet generally, but there's actually very little vitamin D in most of our diets. So on that basis, we're saying that as a general rule for general health, that it's recommended that it should be taken. But we're also saying that there is a need now to examine in further detail the link between that and a person's ability to fight respiratory illnesses.
Okay.
And as I say, the evidence is there supporting the fact that, you know, it's not only about bone and muscle health, it's about a whole lot of other aspects of our health, including our immune systems, and it's been found to be very beneficial in that regard.
But nonetheless, I can't ignore that the Deputy Chief Medical Officer, Ronan Glynn, has been very clear about this. He said, look, yeah, generally it's a good thing, but nobody should be of the impression that it can prevent you from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. So back to those laws of unintended consequences. It's resonant in a way of, you know, Trump and hydroxychloroquine, Roisin Shortall and this committee coming out and saying, go for the vitamin D, folks. At the very least, we're probably going to see price gouging on vitamins that you are recommending.
Now, I think, Philip, it's a very different thing to compare it to Trump now. It's just a bit of a stretch, or a very big stretch.
I don't know, maybe you do have the power to move markets now, Roisin, you never know.
I doubt it, Philip. Look, we listened to what a group of experts said in this regard. We felt their evidence was very persuasive, and we feel that at a minimum there should be a recommendation that people take it for general health, and there needs to be further then research done in relation to the potential for impact in relation to a person's the likelihood of a person picking up contracting COVID. And then, I mean, there's also, as I say, Professor Kenny will speak to you about this, from Finland, there is evidence on it supporting people's ability to fight COVID too, so that the impact isn't as great.
Let's go to her on that. Good morning, Professor Kenny.
Good morning.
Talk to us, please, about those associations between vitamin D and improved ability to fight respiratory illness.
So there are a number of different studies, and they've been fast evolving since the start of the pandemic, which show that having a substantially good levels of vitamin D reduce the likelihood of contacting COVID, of having a severe response to the infection, and that latter includes death from the infection or admission to hospital or admission to an intensive care unit. So that's data, as Deputy Shortall said, from Finland, but also from the USA, from Spain and France and the UK.
And why do you feel assured by those studies, or sufficiently assured to make this call now, but NPHET doesn't?
So I can't speak to why NPHET doesn't, but I can speak to the evidence that's been accumulating since March 2019 with respect to COVID and immune responses enhanced by vitamin D. I feel reassured because the levels of vitamin D required to have this beneficial effect are gleaned from doses of 80 to 1,000 international units per day. We know that vitamin D is very, very safe, up to levels of 4,000 international units per day. And indeed, our public advisory bodies in the Department of Health particularly have agreed that that is the case, that up to 4,000 international units is safe. So I feel very reassured that there's no downside to this. There is very strong circumstantial evidence of a benefit, and we're doing a number of other public health initiatives to prevent getting COVID and reduce the severity of the burden of the virus. And therefore, our strong recommendation is that this is another public health initiative.
Okay. Please do accept that my questions come from a point of view of absolutely accepting what you say about it being a general public good that we take vitamin D in the normal course of events. But I happen to have noticed over the course of the last 6 months, any time I've gone into a chemist, I've looked for or asked for vitamin D, and they have been all out. Maybe there's going to be people who are going to become quite anxious now that they can't get their hands on it.
So it's not just chemists which provide vitamin D, and it's D3 the listeners should take, vitamin D3. Health food stores provide vitamin D, and if necessary, you can order vitamin D3 online.
And you have no fears, I don't think you were actually able to hear my conversation earlier on with Roisin Shortall, you don't have any fears about creating a run on the market or price gouging in this particular area with your recommendation, do you?
Well, it may happen, but I mean, that's our remit, is to provide the scientific evidence that this is beneficial in the context of immunity and particularly the pandemic. I mean, I'm sure, I'm not sure, but I would hope that the market would meet the need. And certainly in countries which have likewise emphasized the importance mm-hmm. of vitamin D in the context of COVID, there are adequate supplies.
And you're absolutely happy that saying that it is beneficial in the context of COVID isn't overstretching the science now?
The only type of study that we lack in the context of vitamin D and COVID is a randomized control trial, where you put control subjects with known inadequate levels of vitamin D in one limb, and then you give the other group, the intervention group, adequate doses of vitamin D to get the levels up to what we know is good for immunity. In our opinion, and that of many experts worldwide, this sort of study will probably never happen now, because the circumstantial evidence, the observational data, is so strong that it's unlikely that a control group
okay.
with levels that are below what's known to be good for immunity generally will be allowed ethically.
Professor Roseanne Kenny, thank you very much, and also Roisin Shortall. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about family businesses.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.